Hi, Sophie.
Sorry, I was just eating loads of crackers, so I didn't want that to be filmed.
Don't worry, Sophie, that's definitely going to go in the podcast. Don't worry about it.
Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Somewhere in Between, the Early Careers podcast brought to you by the Royal College of GBs. I'm Anthony, and I'm back with Johannes, Hatim, and Mira. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
So, in today's episode, we are going to be hearing from two great people, our new AIT co-chairs, the first time that we've ever had co-chairs for the AITs at the Royal College of GPs, and their names are Sophie Lumley and Adam Thomas, who are both ST3s, and we're going to be hearing a bit of an introduction to them, some of their hopes for the year ahead, and going to be talking about everything that has happened over the last year and how those guys are going to continue some of the work that we've all been involved in as reps throughout my previous term as well. But before we hand over to Sophie and Adam and talk to them, how are you doing, guys? We're coming up to the start of a new year. We're coming up to a festive period. How is everybody feeling at this time? Have you got time off? Have you got a chance to relax, hopefully, coming up?
I mean, I feel like it's just quite fitting that we've come full circle of our first episode that went out as we went into lockdown, and our final episode of the year is coming out as London is just going back into tier three. But we're going to be making the most of sort of the last night of being able to have some food out, aren't we, Hatim?
Yeah, we are. everyone here on the podcast knows that I can't go without a restaurant trip for a good while. So I'm going to have to get out there as soon as I can before we hit tier three and then officially confine restaurants to the rubbish bin until the COVID goes away.
I mean, I'm sure your cooking's not that bad, Hatton. But no, for Christmas this year, so I'm doing a public health job, which has been interesting to say the least, and I'm sure there's probably some of my GP colleagues in AIT who are doing public health jobs as well, so it'd be really interesting to hear our experiences, and it's definitely something I'll be talking a bit more about in the new year. So as a result, I have the normal days off. I'm not on call, I've not got nights, which is actually really, really lovely. But we've sort of made the decision not to go up north this year for Christmas to see our families. Although the restrictions would allow us to do so, we just felt that it probably wasn't the safest thing to do for us. So this will be our first Christmas that I'm not working and I'm not seeing my parents, which is weird, I think. But I'm sure a lot of us are probably in the same position who are listening. So we are making the most of it. We've sort of reserved a chicken and a lamb for Christmas Day. God knows how we're going to fit all of that in an oven. But it should be really good fun. So it'll be our first Christmas in our new flat with Dobby the dog. So I'm looking forward to it. How about you, Johannes? What are your plans?
Classic antisocial Johannes. So I am going to have a lie-in, watch some Netflix, maybe go for a bike ride, back to bed, done.
That sounds ideal, to be honest.
Yeah. All of this family stuff, don't need it. I don't think it would have been any different if coronavirus wasn't here, but I maybe wouldn't have had such a good excuse to be antisocial.
I mean, that's what I love about this podcast. You know, there's something for everyone, you know, from the social to the antisocial scale. What about you, Hatim? What are your plans for the festive period?
So that's a good point. I mean, firstly, I want to say, Mira, you're really, really planned in advance, because I tried to order a turkey and it turns out that everywhere is sold out. Or you can't just pre-collect it on the day, like all the slots are gone. So we're kind of stuck. We're trying to figure it out. We're probably going to have to just rush to the shops and just pick one up on the day or the day, well, not on the day, hopefully, but the day before. We're planning to hopefully have the parents over, depending on restrictions, because I guess it's our turn to try and do some of the cooking. But obviously, it's a difficult one, isn't it? And I think everyone's sort of wrestling with this internally at the moment in terms of, you know, what do we do? What's right? And it's a balance, I guess, between the two. So we'll see how things go.
What about you, Anne?
Might get...
No, go on, Johannes.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it looks like they might be taking the choice away from us anyway, doesn't it? I think they're considering plunging us into some kind of ultra Christmas lockdown.
It's like BBC News right now saying
give us the gossip.
That was just my computer telling me it needs to update Microsoft Word tonight, so nothing more exciting than that. But yeah, pending any further lockdowns, I am going to be going to my parents' house this year. For the whole year, so me and my husband are both vegetarian, and for this year my parents, since my birthday in January, have been pescatarian. But my mum just told me the other day that she has ordered a turkey for Christmas, so she couldn't go about. So there will be a turkey. Hopefully we'll be able to be there. At least for a couple of days, it'll be nice to pretend that there isn't a load of other stuff going on around us. My gran, who also lives there, my 100-year-old gran, we're going to go and wave through the window at her. And I'm sure she'll come to the doorstep. But it's going to be a weird Christmas, mainly all apart for the family, but it's still nice to be able to spend a bit of time together. And if nothing else, even if we do go into lockdown, I would actually really love a Christmas where I just have a Netflix day. So I think that either way, it's going to be a nice chance to relax, definitely.
Johannes, are you a fan of Christmas movies on Netflix? I feel like you wouldn't be, but this is going to be an interesting question nevertheless.
You know that I'm maximum Grinch, so absolutely not. No.
I mean, there's just no follow-up, is it? It's just, no, I hate Christmas.
Yeah. I don't hate Christmas. It's just intense apathy.
But talking about our love of games, because we all like a good board game or something like that, I'd never played Monopoly Deal before this weekend, and we had ordered it as a gift for someone else, and I thought, it was relatively cheap, so I was like, we could just order another one. Well, let's just play games. And the words that came out of my mouth yesterday to Sanjay was, do you think they would accept Monopoly Deal as one of the reasons for a divorce? It's causing
what
a lot of
Monopoly Deal.
Yeah, I've never played it.
It's actually really good.
Yes, thanks, Hattie. So we are not spawned by Monopoly Deal.
Not yet, anyway. But if you are interested in sponsoring the podcast, please do.
Always open. Effectively, it's the fun of Monopoly without the board and the multiple hours needed and patience to play a full game. So it's a card game, effectively, but with the properties, and the aim is to collect sets of properties. But obviously you can foil each other with various action cards and things. And you can play with two people up to, I think it's five or something. Really good fun, but it's maybe brought out not the best side in me. I don't know, Hatton, what are you like when you play?
Clearly, I'm not as much of a problem as you, Mira, and thankfully our relationship is still very much intact when we do play it. But I think once we actually are allowed out of this horrible restriction that we're in, and we're allowed to get back into this infamous RCGP studio in that building that is not used very much anymore, we will actually have to have a game, and we'll have to see what kind of competitiveness comes out of you in real life.
I feel like that's you're letting yourself in for some New Year nightmare. But, you know, we'll give it a go. Johannes has got his sort of league table of games all set to go. So that's going to be our New Year's wish as the hosts of Somewhere in Between, is to actually see each other in the flesh in 2021 at some point, maybe when we're all vaccinated.
Yeah,
hopefully Monopoly won't tear us apart, though.
We'll let you win, Mira, don't worry. Cool, well. Having said all of that, now let's move over to the main part of today's episode, which is getting to know our new AIT co-chairs, Sophie and Adam. Great. So we are now going to be joined by Sophie Lumley and Adam Thomas, our new AIT co-chairs. Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Thanks so much for joining us this evening. I guess the floor is yours, really, to kick off. It would be great to just give a bit of an introduction to who you both are, and maybe a couple of key aims for what you guys have in store for the year ahead. So maybe if we kick off with Adam?
Yeah, of course, no problem. So I'm Adam Thomas. I'm an ST3 trainee based up in Shropshire in the West Midlands. So yeah, a bit about my background. I've had quite a long and varied route into general practice. So I qualified from Kiel in 2012. And since then, I spent 2 years as a core surgical trainee before seeing the light. I also spent a year as a teaching fellow and did the master's in medical education. And then and then this year just gone, during my GP training, took a year out to be one of the National Medical Director Clinical Fellows. And I was based at the GMC for that, sort of looking into sort of assessments and curricula and that kind of thing. So yeah, I've had sort of a long and winding route to ST3, but sort of haven't regretted sort of any of that time, really, because I think it just sort of just makes a career a little bit more interesting when you bring a bit more to the table, especially as we're all, you know, going to be generalists. And in terms of our aims, obviously, you know, Sophie and I'll be able to discuss a bit more about those as we go on. But certainly one of the key ones for me is obviously taking over the mantle of the RCA and developing the RCA further from the great work that you and the team have done, Anthony, over the last year. I have a particularly vested interest in that because I have the unenviable task of sitting the RCA sort of early next year. So that's going to be interesting. And to be honest, I'm actually quite looking forward to sort of going on that journey, both as a trainee, but also in the position of chair, co-chair of the AIT network, because it just means that obviously I've got as much of a vested interest as thousands of other trainees across the country have. So it will be a journey that we can take together, really.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, it's definitely, I think if you're involved in the ongoing redesign of the exam, it definitely is a weird experience to be doing that alongside preparing for it as well. But I think it is, it will be an interesting experience for you. Let's leave it at that.
It will. Yeah, it will.
And Sophie, yeah, do you want to give us a bit of an intro to yourself as well?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Sophie Lumley. I'm an ST4 technically, I suppose, now. I'm an academic trainee, though I was a bit late to the academic party, and I'm training in Shropshire as well as Adam. I suppose I don't really know what you'd like to know about me, but I've done some leadershipy type things before. I'm the chair of the regional training committee in West Midlands for the RCGP faculty, and that's been really interesting. We've worked really closely with the head of school there to deliver a program called Six Steps to Success through the exams and the e-portfolio, with a series of evening talks and discussions, and then we ran our local leavers and starters conference. So that's been really fun and great to work with trainees from other areas. So I suppose that was one of the main reasons that I cajoled Adam into running for this position with me. I think the RCA is going to dominate quite a lot of what we do this year. I'm quite lucky that I snuck my CSA in just before everything shut down, and then was I suppose lucky in some ways to sit the RCA pilot, so I've got a little bit of an idea of what the RCA involves, and seeing lots of friends go through it now, so understanding quite a lot of about the difficulties that it brings for trainees who are not only trying to tick all the boxes they need to get through ST3, but also trying to collate loads of cases and the right sort of case mix and perform to the best of their ability. So that'll be really interesting to see what that develops into and sort of future-proofing that exam. The other thing that both Adam and I are really keen on is developing others and their leadership skills and widening opportunities. We're both really lucky that we've done leadership type fellowships and had protected time to meet interesting people and do interesting things, but widening those opportunities for others to sit on committees, to feed into national decision making, and providing sort of helpful advice and toolkits on things that we've done before locally or regionally, and allowing others to try and develop those in their own area so more trainees can benefit, is something that we're both really passionate about. And I hate to say it, but I hope it's a lot less of an interesting year than Anthony has had. It would be lovely to get through the end of it and go, well, that was nice, without it being too exciting. But I'm sure we'll have the wake of COVID to deal with, and making sure that training's fit for purpose and that we deal with all the other stuff that comes out of the woodwork once numbers settle down.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I hope that you have an equally interesting year, but perhaps in other ways, in different ways to the year that I've just had. But as you mentioned, you're both the first ever co-chairs of the AIT network at the college. And I guess it's interesting to hear like your decision-making process around why you wanted to be co-chairs rather than like running as individuals. Like how did that come to pass? Have you worked together in a similar way before? What was the kind of drive behind that decision?
Well, I was going to let you start with that, Sophie, as you said earlier, you cajoled me into running with you, but you know, certainly I have my reasons, but I think, you know, Sophie was the driving force, so I'll let her kick off with that.
Well, I mean, I have to say it wasn't something that I'd given a huge amount of forward planning, and it was a daunting thing to do given the year that Anthony's just had. I remember thinking at many different points in the year, goodness me, I'm glad that's not my decision to make or my thing to feed into. I suppose enjoying the things that we've done before and enjoying the sort of national catch-up meetings that have been running this year, making sure that there's a really strong trainee voice in the college is something that I'm really keen on. Adam and I have worked together on some things before, so I think there's a really nice thing about sharing the burden of decision making, not feeling like you have to be the one sole person that represents and knows what trainees feel and think. So having someone to bounce ideas off, someone to have fun with the job and make sure that you're held to account and don't say things stupid without someone saying, Sophie, that was a bit stupid, maybe think about doing that differently next time is helpful. And I always think things are worth doing as part of a team.
Yeah, I think it's hopefully going to be a really nice experience. I think the option of being able to co-chair with somebody who you already know and get to share the experience is hopefully going to be a really positive one and something that I hope continues. Hatim, Johannes, I'm going to open the floor to you guys. Do you have any immediate questions for Sophie and Adam at all?
Well, I guess it'd be nice just to know how it's been so far. You both have been in a role for probably coming up to just under a month, just coming up to a month now, I guess. And how has the experience been so far, what you've enjoyed and what you're looking forward to over the next year?
It's been interesting. It's been, I was saying this to some of the sort of guys within the RCGP we've already met up with, obviously virtually. It's such a huge role, and it's obviously a role that comes with such responsibility to sort of at least coordinate the voice, especially as we're obviously trying to make this a network moving forward where there's, you know, as Sophie said, we're not the face of what's going on, but just almost the sort of coordinators of making sure that sort of flow of information and views goes between the college and the trainees. But it's all sort of happened over screens from my kitchen, which is weird. You know, with this kind of role, you'd expect, you know, when Anthony started, you know, involved going down to the college and getting a feel of what that's like and meeting people face to face and making those sort of meaningful connections face to face. But obviously so many of us across the country have had to get used to not being able to make those sort of physical connections and getting to know people virtually. So the magnitude of what's ahead is sort of setting in, but it also feels a bit strange that it's all happened from the end of my table in my kitchen so far. So it's a strange world to be taking this on, but obviously exciting as well, because there's obviously so much to take forward because COVID's affecting everything, you know, not least GP training.
I suppose I would add that the benefit of being online is I spend a huge amount of time looking at Adam's extremely snazzy wallpaper. And the amount of meetings that we sit through together, and I'm sat in a wardrobe and Adam's got his fancy wallpaper and shouts at his Alexa in the background, it makes it for a humorous experience. I suppose the only thing that I would add to what Adam said is that we got to go to our first RCGP council meeting a few weekends ago, and Anthony was kind enough to be on WhatsApp as an advisor to let us know who people were and the sort of backstory to some of the discussions. And that was really interesting and quite enjoyable, I suppose, to do online. You could go and get yourself a cup of tea, and it flattened the hierarchy in some ways because everybody's just the same sleeping size box on a screen, and and they all look exactly as blurry and as reliant on their internet connection as you are, and that's quite interesting to deal with. I suppose the downside is you don't get to meet people individually and really get a sense of people's background and what they're bringing to the table in the same way. But that was a really interesting experience, and we've already started meeting with directors of postgraduate training and all the relevant people in the college who have an input into the things that AITs are most interested in. So some of those discussions around RCA are already beginning to happen, so it'd be interesting to see how those things develop.
I'm glad you mentioned the exciting wallpaper, because I was already wondering if that was a replacement for Anthony's equally jazzy shirt, which unfortunately aren't on display today. But
we can never match sartorially what Anthony's brought to the table, so I've got to do it with interior design instead.
Absolutely. My question was just going to be, did you approach this role with a particular issue that you wanted to try and solve or deal with, or was there something that you're kind of really passionate about that you want to bring to the role over the next 12 months?
Well, I personally came at it, and it was one of the reasons I sort of accepted Sophie's invitation to sort of run with her, was because I hadn't really been that involved in the college through most of my training so far. And certainly I hadn't really planned to get involved in leadership. I sort of fell into it because of I've got an interest in education, particularly undergrad education, and realized I didn't really have any experience in sort of leadership in the healthcare setting. And it wasn't until I did the fellowship that I realized that I actually quite like the sort of opportunity to be able to lead and as Sophie said, empower others to lead as well. It sort of empower people to find out what their strengths are and sort of play to those. And I suppose because Sophie does have experience in the college and has obviously been chair of the West Midlands Committee, I thought that I would bring a new sort of fresh angle, fresh voice possibly, because obviously I've sort of feel like I've been helicoptered in at the top rather than getting. So it's a huge learning curve for me, sort of learning what the sort of process of the college, how it works, how different people feed into it, you know, what the stakeholders are expecting, what is expected of us. But certainly I came at it, once Sophie sort of, you know, explained the reasons why she'd like me to run with her and what she'd like to achieve, which I'm sure she'll elaborate on. For me, it was just, I really like this idea that we're taking it from a committee to this network. So, you know, to identify trainees that are interested, that are driven, have different motivations, have different interests that they want to get involved in, and sort of be the coordinator and the facilitator of that, I suppose, to make this network a really sort of vibrant community that we can really sort of hone in on everyone's separate different interests and talents and really, get people who are interested in specific aspects of sort of the college life and what it means to be a trainee, and really sort of be able to advocate for the trainee voice. So obviously, you know, the RCA and it is going to be a huge part of what's going on, because it's been such a huge change. But for me, the interesting or the exciting part was just to sort of develop this network of like-minded interested trainees who can sort of, who together will have a much stronger voice to the college.
I think it's an interesting question, because I suppose it's one of the things, the pieces of advice that we've had straight from so many people already that we've spoken to, which is don't try and do too many things, which is definitely an issue when you take on a role like this, where you're constantly getting invites to things and people suddenly know who you are and want an AIT voice in things. And I suppose Adam's point about us diversifying the AIT leadership voice and letting others take that opportunity is really important, because we won't be able to do anything, but it's important to have a strong AIT voice in lots of meetings and decision making, but also some continuity of that voice. And that's, I suppose, where we come in. But something that we're both quite passionate about, and I suppose if I was going to pick one thing that I wanted to add in that we'd like to deliver, is to better support the transition from training to becoming a qualified GP. I think one day you're a trainee and you have an educational supervisor and you've got that open door to say, oh, can't quite work out what I'm meant to be doing with this patient, and some protected educational time. And the next day, that's you. And you can always ask partners and others for advice, but essentially you're an independent doctor practicing the best of your ability for your patients, and that protected educational time, it isn't there in the same way. And I know a lot of people find that to be a big step up. So sort of supporting that transition, I think is really important. And the other side of things we're interested in along that vein is around, I hate the term portfolio careers. For me, it's more about career development and having a versatile, interesting GP career. But we're quite interested in the idea of running a program called GP Plus. So a similar sort of vibe to Anthony's Celebrate campaign and GP Ready, run as a series of webinars or short videos, but something where those who are interested in having a clinical sort of generalist face, but also taking up other clinical and non-clinical interests. And it's something I think the college has sort of had a love-hate relationship, GPs with specialist interest, over the years, but an opportunity to kind of showcase what interesting careers GPs have had, clinical and the non-clinical workspace, I think would be of interest to quite a few different trainees. So we're interested to hear others' ideas on that kind of thing, or indeed if people have got aspiring leaders and others in mind who we can link up with to deliver some of those sessions.
I mean, that's really great, and it's a really unique topic to focus on, because I think one thing, a GP is ahead of the curve here in terms of portfolio careers and really diversifying and allowing us to do various things. And that's one of the brilliant things about general practice, actually. And Adam, you said something earlier about actually all of these things tend to inform our practice and make us better clinicians and better generalists overall, because it really brings wider skills to our skill base. And I mean, the other thing I think was nice to highlight is actually, it's not just portfolio GPs or GPs that do other things when you finish training, but actually you can be doing that while you're training as well. And I think, the people that we have on this podcast that we've had in the past, and also who you both here, are examples of being portfolio GP trainees to some extent and doing those additional roles which make you better trainees, better clinicians, and hopefully will ease that transition to being a GP when you finish.
Yeah, I think
absolutely.
It's interesting to see that Adam obviously mentioned doing the National Medical Directors Fellowship Scheme. I did it, Hatton did it, and Sophie did it. And at the minute, just a shameless plugging of it, like the applications are open for the next round of fellows as well. I think it is a fantastic opportunity. We'll share a link in the description of this podcast for it, actually, because I think it is worthwhile checking out. And they have had a growing number of GPs, I think, doing it every year. And it's a really, really great opportunity to get to experience a whole different way of working, to develop, as Adam says, a range of different leadership skills, and to really see your potential and your future career in a completely different way. So I would recommend it. I would also say that you do not have to have done it to be the AIT chair or co-chair.
I suppose it's with the great thing with these kind of things, and particularly if you speak to leaders, 10, 15, 20, 30 years older than we are, they've all been opportunists a lot of the time. They've seen opportunities, jumped on them and thought, oh, I might, I'm not sure that's for me. Have I got the right qualifications, but just gone for it? And it usually works out, and you learn more, I suppose, when you make the mistakes and when you don't get it than when you do. So it's a sort of win-win situation, but definitely echo what Anthony's saying. I don't want this to become something that you have to have done a prior fellowship, because I think it's really important that there's a sort of typical trainee voice coming through, and if you've done lots of leadershipy other stuff, particularly if something like me and your academic got protected time, it's you have to work harder to identify with all the other issues that the other trainees have. And I think that's something that the combination of having two of us, particularly with Adam still to sit the RCA, means that between the two of us we can be a bit more representative, particularly with a strong network behind us.
Yeah, definitely.
I had a question, which is, when I started as their chair and we had our first meeting, We did like an exercise where we got trainees to give words that they think summed up the kind of general view of trainees of the RCGP. I think that all of us here probably have like a fairly positive view of the college, but obviously that's not necessarily shared amongst all trainees. If I was to ask you guys, like from your experiences, what kind of relationship do you think trainees have with the college? If you were able to sum that up in a few words, what would you think? And do you think that could be improved? If so, how? Yeah, it would just be interesting to hear your take on that.
I think the first thing trainees would, the first word trainees might jump to is expensive, because I think they relate the college and the exams that they run as being a money drainer for them during training. And I suppose part of our job really is to diversify what people understand the college's role is, because it does do an awful lot of other things other than take our money for our exams. And we are the only college, I think I'm right in saying, that has a cost neutral exam. So I know it's expensive, but that is what I would anticipate that many trainees would think about the college, even though it does lots of other important things.
Yeah, and sort of along the same vein, I would probably say, not that I think, you know, I'm not saying that this is a majority view at all, but I think bodies like the RCGP can be seen as unapproachable or sort of, you know, removed from the people that they represent. I think, you know, I'm not just saying this, Anthony, I think there's been a huge amount of improvement in terms of, you know, social media presence and the way that trainees have been engaged with, you know, the way the college looks is a lot more modern. You know, all this movement away from being sort of, you know, your rigid committees to being sort of communities of practice, and then you know, and developing a network within that. All of that, I think, will help that sort of cause to make things seem more approachable, more relevant, and sort of more easily accessible to trainees. But certainly, you know, it's difficult when you are the body that examines the trainees and are sort of responsible for signing everything off and getting you through CCT. It's hard to find the relationship, you know, a relationship. I suppose it's hard to have a positive relationship if, as Sophie said, all you think that the college is there to do is to sort of hold you to account, take the money and spit you out the other side. I think it just needs to be made more relevant, and as Sophie was saying, just make it much more obvious that the college does much more than that and can be a lot more than that to trainees in terms of the support through the years in their training.
I think one thing that I've noticed just doing this over the last year is that actually the college is quite open, and you know, if you engage with them, then you know, they're very, very open to hearing your ideas and letting you get involved. So I think I think the college can feel unapproachable, but if you do kind of make the effort, I think they definitely respond to that really well. So yeah, I completely agree that engagement is really important.
I agree, Johannes. Yeah. I mean, training is hard, and so it's hard to have the headspace to do all the other things, and to. But also, I think a lot of it is confidence and actually seeing the ability that we have to actually get engaged and make change. And it's about empowering, as both Adam and Sophie have really highlighted, is empowering people to do that. So I think it's really exciting that's one of your main priorities is to get support people and get people involved. And I'm really excited to see what happens over the next year.
Yeah,
the only other thing I'd add, and I don't know whether anyone else has ever noticed this, but the first time I went in the building, like the RCGP building in Euston Square, all those green walls really remind me of something to do with Harry Potter. And I just find that personally quite exciting, but it might just be me.
The Ministry of Magic. Yeah, it does a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does definitely have those vibes.
if only I had the sort of staircases that are revolving everywhere.
Yeah. Or just the ability to freeze time for a bit, give you a bit more headspace, a bit more time. You know, that a wand would be good.
So I've got one final question for you guys. So Sophie admitted to us that she was binging crackers just before she started recording the episode with us. And Adam's been munching away on something as well. So I'm just curious, Adam, what's on your plate?
Well, my plate. Well, I'm a HelloFresh convert. So my I've got. So it sounds a lot more posh than it is. It's been made for me, ready for when I arrive back, which is not always the case. But that's I've got a Thai cod curry. That's what I've got.
Very nice. And again, we're open to sponsorships, but not currently sponsored by HelloFresh.
Of course, there are other other meal companies are available.
Well, thank you so much, Adam and Sophie. I think, you know, this is the first of many conversations that we're going to have throughout the year, and really looking forward to seeing everything that you both achieve alongside the whole of the AIT network in the coming months. I think, as we've alluded to, COVID isn't going anywhere. There's going to be lots of challenges involving the future of the RCA and lots of other issues related to training. But yeah, mainly I hope that you get to tackle those, but also focus on those things you've highlighted that are really important around engagement, empowering others to be able to help shape the AIT voice at the college. So thanks for talking with us. And yeah, we're going to get you back regularly to hear some updates and to hear how things are going. So look forward to you joining us again.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks. This is my first venture into recording a podcast. It's been quite fun.
Oh, wait until you hear the finished product. It's going to be great. I thought when we started listening to them, I really thought I was not going to be able to listen to them. I thought I would cringe too much listening to myself. But it's actually normally like quite a fun experience listening back to it. So I hope you feel the same. Good. Once Bryn has worked his magic on it.
It'd be commuting fodder. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Great. Well, that was a really great chance to get to know Sophie and Adam, and we're going to be hearing loads more from them throughout the rest of the year as they take on the challenge of being the next AIT co-chairs. As we come towards the end of the year, and we head into the festive period, as we say, a very different festive period to anything that we've ever been used to before, all of us here at Somewhere in Between hope that however you do celebrate this time, that you have a really good, healthy and happy period. And here's hoping for a much happier, much more altogether new year. Hopefully we're all vaccinated and get a chance to get back together and get back to some sense of normality. For now, take care, and we'll see you all again very soon for another episode of Somewhere in Between. Merry Christmas, happy Hanukkah, and a very happy new year. Nice to see you all.
See you soon.
Thank you.
Bye. Happy holidays and a healthy period to you all.
Yeah, say about you.
Please edit out the healthy period.